the True Stream.
Okay, welcome back everybody to Truth Stream Oasis. This is your host, Amos Ridley. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Why is that? Because we're alive, we're breathing, we have opportunity. These are strange days we're living in, that's for sure. But let's rejoice in the fact that we are those that are spoken about in the book of Revelation. The ones that John saw standing before the throne. And he asked the angel, "Who are these?" And we're the ones standing before that throne. We are the ones that were spoken about that said, "These are the ones who came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and made them white." I thoroughly believe that we are those people. It's kind of like that little boy in the never-ending story. You know, he's reading the book and it's kind of freaking him out because he's written about in the book. Sometimes how I feel looking at the signs that are going on today and all the crazy happenings that are going on. Kind of look in there and read Revelation and I'm like, wow, that's us. You know. It's kind of like trying to wake up from some type of dream to actually have it sink in and realize that. But what I'm going to be doing, I recorded the other day a message on 9/11 and how it was prophesied in the Bible. I personally believe it was. There are many passages that I've been through. There's Isaiah chapter 46 and 47, and this all ties into America being Mystery Babylon. Not so much the religious aspect of it, but the political and the political aspect of it. And I plan on doing a podcast here in the future on Zechariah, where it talks about the four horns and the four craftsmen. And I'm going to try to tie all this in together. I'm not a professional. I sit here and I go to work and I think, I'm like, how can I present this in a digestible way that would be interesting and people can learn from it? So I'm just going to wing it here. So, but hopefully you guys will just pay attention, think about it, and try to put it all together in your minds. But I did a special podcast earlier on Amos chapter 9, talking about how the pillars that were talked about, it said strike the tops of the pillars so that the threshold shake, bring them down on the heads of all the people. And just to do a quick review, we talked about how the temple that was being spoke about there was a pagan temple where the ancient Israelites were worshiping the golden calf in that temple, and that angered the Lord, obviously. So the Lord had the temple destroyed, and it's just interesting that the language was talked about was, you know, strike the tops of the pillars so that the thresholds, the foundation shake, and bring the heads down on all the people. And that imagery reminds me of what happened on that tragic day in 9/11, 2001, where the World Trade Center towers were struck. And they came down on the heads of all the people. You know, God rest their souls. I know it's horrible, and in no way do I want to do any injustice to that day. And my prayers and all of my condolences go out to the families, because we all went through that, and especially the families who had loved ones who lost people that they loved in that tragedy. But you know, the whole imagery of that matching it up with Amos 9:1 and that language, and the fact that the temple was the temple to the golden calf, and that whole symbolism with today and how we see that, you know, it's a bear and a bull market, how the statue of the bull or the calf is on Wall Street, how even on Fox News they have the golden calf, you know, running through the streets of New York, and basically everything's geared around money and mammon, and that golden calf kind of represents that. So, just as a quick review on that, what I want to do is I want to today get into two chapters, which I believe are sister chapters, as it were. And right after the Lord really conked me on the head, turned the lights on, and woke me up after 9/11, because I had had a lot of biblical training and all of the information was put into me. I just didn't have the Holy Spirit to shine a light on it so I could understand it. But one of the first things that he impressed on me, and this is part of the reason why I woke up and repented so severely, and why everything scared me so much, it really impacted me, was because of Revelation chapter 10, basically. I started going through there, and I remember hearing on the news a news story. I wish I could dig this clip up. If anybody can find the audio clip on this, I would really appreciate it. But there was a news story that came out where they had said that Osama bin Laden had said, I struck your two pillars. And he actually mentioned the word pillars. And I remember hearing that. And that kind of impacted me when I was reading Revelation 10. Man, I get a little worked up talking about this because it was a stressful time in my life. And to be honest with you guys, I'm still a little nervous here. Getting on here and presenting this information, hopefully I'll learn to how to relax a little bit better. But yeah, he talked about striking our two pillars, and then I went into Revelation 10 and was reading that. And let me click over here and read this to you. Revelation chapter 10, it says, "Then I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven. He was robed in a cloud with a rainbow above his head, and his face was like the sun, and his legs were like fiery pillars." That's Revelation 10:1. And what I started to come to understand is that it's highly possible that John was looking at 9/11, and what he was seeing, what was happening in the spiritual realm, and what we saw that day is what was manifesting in the physical realm. I don't know for sure. I mean, I'm just like you. I'm reading these words and trying to understand it, but I think that's possibly what happened. And as he was seeing an angel come down from heaven and his legs were like fiery pillars, there might have been an angel standing there, an angel of judgment. And what we saw happen in the physical realm with the buildings falling was actually something that might have been going on behind the scenes in the spiritual dimension. Says he was holding a little scroll, which I believe, if you read this whole chapter and you think it out, that because John was told to eat this little scroll in the end and then prophesy. And what did he prophesy? He prophesied the book of Revelation. So I believe that little scroll was the words that God wanted John to speak. He was holding a little scroll, this angel. You picture this angel standing there with a little scroll in his hand, which lay open in his hand. He planted his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. And I personally think that has to do with something spiritual. His right foot on the sea kind of represents peoples, and his left foot on the land, and that represents government and responsibility. But it is interesting that Manhattan is an island, so I don't know if that has anything to do with it. Probably not, but I'll just throw it out there for what it's worth. And he gave a loud shout like the roar of a lion. That's very important. When he shouted, the voices of the seven thunders spoke. And when the seven thunders spoke, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven say, "Seal up what the seven thunders have said, and do not write it down." Now, I wanted to point out something here. It says seal up. There were seven thunders. It says seal them up, and I'm wondering if those seven thunders spoke what was in the seven seals. Because there is that language of sealing it up, so that's something I just wanted to focus in on there. Then the angel I had seen standing on the sea and the land raised his right hand to heaven, and he swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created the heavens and all that is in them, the earth and all that is in it, and the sea and all that is in it, and said, "There will be no more delay." Okay, so if you get this picture here, you got this humongous angel standing there. His legs are like fiery pillars. He's got his right hand just holding it up to heaven. He's got his other hand with a little scroll open, which I believe is the book of Revelation. And he's saying, there will be no more delay. That means up to this point, there was a delay. Something was being delayed, but at this moment, click, click, click. Okay? It's going now. It's on. It's like the clock was turned back on. Whatever delay there was there, whatever was being held off, whatever was being restrained, at this point, he said there'll be no more delay. It's all going to start. And it reminds me of the passage where God says, what is this proverb that they quote in Israel where it says, all the visions never come to anything and nothing ever happens. And God says, you tell them that there's coming a point where every vision is going to be fulfilled and it will be fulfilled rapidly. So that kind of reminds me of that. But it says, but in the days when the seventh angel is about to sound his trumpet, the mystery of God will be accomplished, just as he announced to his servants, the prophets. And we know the seventh angel blows the seventh trumpet. We know that Paul talked about in Thessalonians, for the Lord himself shall come down from heaven with a loud shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. That's where a lot of the pre-tribulational believers think that's the rapture, the harpazo, H-A-R-P-A-Z-O, the catching away of the believers. But it's interesting in that language, there is a trumpet call there. And then Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:51, he says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, some translations say in a flash, it says at the last trump. Go check it out for yourselves. Be like a Berean. Open the Bible and go check it out for yourselves. It says at the last trump. So it's the same guy. It's Paul the Apostle saying the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet call of God. And then you got Revelation 4, the beginning of Revelation chapter 4, where John says, I heard a voice speaking behind me like a trumpet. So God's voice is like a trumpet or like a shofar, which is the ram's horn. We went through that. So you're putting all this together. You're getting an image of the angel standing there with his right hand to heaven, swearing by heaven. And who is the only one that's allowed to do that? That's God himself. Because he tells everybody else, he's like, you're not to swear by me or by anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. So I personally believe this was Jesus Christ in the role of an angel, not being created as an angel, but angel means messenger, in the role of a messenger of judgment. And that this time that was being delayed, that judgment was going to start. And what I'm laying down here is the premise that 9/11 might... I'm not saying thus saith the Lord. You're going to hear me say this many times because the Lord tells people, you know, they go out there and tell people thus saith the Lord when the Lord has not spoken. This is just me sitting here trying to figure this out, and I'm putting it out there for what it's worth. I want you to file it away, keep it in mind, just in case some things start to happen that make more sense of this, okay? But yeah, the angel standing there with his right hand in heaven, swearing by him who lives forever and ever, who created the heavens and all that is in them, and the earth and all that is in it, and the sea and all that is in it, and said, there will be no more delay. That's got to be God himself, because he's the only one who swears by himself, because there's nobody greater to swear by. Then you have, but in the days when the seventh angel is about to sound his trumpet, the mystery of God will be accomplished, just as he announced to his servants, the prophets. Okay? That seventh angel is saying here that these are the days. Whenever this delay is cut off and all this time period starts, these are the days when the seventh angel is about to sound this trumpet. That means this is near the end. Because at the last trump, the dead in Christ are raised, and we're harpazo, we're caught up to be with the Lord. So I find all that interesting. Now, what I'm going to do is I want to tie this in with Amos 3. Okay. All that being said, I hope I'm a little hyper. And if you guys have listened to my last broadcast, you can probably tell I'm a little hyper. I'm sitting here like, why am I so hyper? wow, I got to take a deep breath here and calm down. I get real excited about this because when the Lord showed this to me, I was like, wow, this blew my mind. So, let's get into Revelation 10 and 3 and how they are the keys to 9/11. Do you remember those old high school laminate projectors that some of you guys that are older might remember those? The teacher would take like a clear piece of plastic and would write notes on it and stick it on top of the projector and it would project. Imagine one of those, because I'm going to try to describe how I think these two chapters work, and it's probably how a lot of prophecy works actually. But picture this: the teacher puts one laminate on the lighted projector, and then you see that there's a prophecy written out clearly on it, like Revelation 10, but there's some missing words. Okay, so you can't really read it or understand it because there's some words missing. You're like, the and Lord created delay, you know, and so on. You see what Revelation's written, but you can't understand the whole thing because there's some missing pieces. Then the teacher takes another laminate, which I want to put forth as Amos chapter 3, and lays it over top of the other one, Revelation 10. Each laminate fills in the other one's blank spots so that it can be read clearly. Okay? So Revelation 10 has some key things. Amos 3 has some key things. And some of them may even overlap. But then each one has some separate keys that fill in each other's blanks. Okay? And this is what I think has happened with Revelation 10 and Amos chapter 3. Revelation 10 has three key words that are the exact same in Amos 3. And let's go over those first. Sharpen up and stay with me here, because this is good stuff here. Alright, we're going to start out with the mention of a lion's roar. Okay, start out with that because that's pretty important. Okay, the lion's roar. What is the lion's roar? Let's read the verse first. In Revelation 10:3, it says, "And he gave a loud shout like the roar of a lion. And when he shouted, the voices of the seven thunders spoke." Now, Amos 3, verse 4 says, "Does a lion roar in the thicket when he has no prey? Does he growl in his den when he has caught nothing?" Okay, so you have the mention of the lion's roar in Revelation 10, verse 3, and a mention of a lion's roar in Amos 3, Amos chapter 3, verse 4. So those two line up. Okay, and what is that lion's roar? That's the big question. This is awesome, because I was reading through Proverbs, and Proverbs is awesome, because even in the beginning of Proverbs, it says, "For understanding the parables and riddles of the wise." In the very first chapter, it says one of the purposes of Proverbs, I think it's like verse 6, 5, between like verse Proverbs 1, 5 through 8, it's in that area. It says that it's for understanding the riddles and parables of the wise. Okay, so if we go to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 2, it says, "A king's wrath is like the roar of a lion." A king's wrath is like, picture an equal sign. Think about this algebraically. A equals B. A king's wrath is like the roar of a lion. He who angers him forfeits his life. Now, since the angel in Revelation 10 most likely can be no other than the Lord himself in the role as a messenger of judgment, he swears by heaven and earth, and only God can do this. That's got to mean that the angel's angry, that the Lord is coming in judgment, and he's angry because he gave a great roar like a lion, and Solomon says in Proverbs that the roar of a lion is like a king's wrath, and Christ is our king. So if he's coming in the role of judgment, he's angry and he's roaring. Okay. So let's go to the second thing that lines up in both chapters, the mention of a trumpet sounding. In Revelation 10, chapter 10, verse 7, it says, "But in the days when the seventh angel is about to sound his trumpet," there's that trumpet sound, "the mystery of God will be accomplished just as he announced to his servants, the prophets." Now we go to Amos chapter 3, verse 6. When a trumpet sounds in a city, do not the people tremble. It goes back to that awesome shofar sounding. When people heard that, they would tremble. They're like, oh my gosh, something's going on. You know, we got to assemble. It makes the people tremble because back then they understood the importance of that trumpet or shofar sounding. So that was pretty important stuff, and it makes the people tremble when that shofar goes off. So we have in Revelation 10:7 and Amos 3:6, we have both mentioning the trumpet sounding. Let's go to the third one. Mention of God revealing His plan to His servants. Both chapters mention God revealing His plan to His servants. Revelation 10:7, we just read it before. It had the mention of the trumpet, and it said, then the mystery of God will be accomplished, just as He announced to His servants, the prophets. We go to Amos chapter 3, verse 7. It says, surely the sovereign Lord does nothing. Surely the sovereign Lord does no thing without revealing His plan to His servants, the prophets. Okay? And I don't believe this can be overlooked. It at least tells us that these are sister prophecies talking about the same thing. Because we have both chapters. We have the mention of a lion roaring. We have mention of a trumpet sounding. And we have exact mention, almost word for word, that God is going to reveal His plan to His servants, the prophets. Okay? Now stay with me here. Revelation 10 has one image that really caught my attention. And Amos 3 mentions something that seems to relate. Now the question is, that I'm presenting to you guys, is do the fourth keys line up? Does the one thing that really stands out different in Revelation 10 and the one thing that stands out different in Amos 3, do they come together and make those two laminates come together as one so we can kind of see what's going on and understand it? We have the lion's roar, the trumpet sounding, and God revealing His plan to His servants, the prophets. Those three are the same in both chapters. Okay, Revelation 10 has a curious description, which I already mentioned, of the legs of the angel. And as I said before, I believe it's possible that what happened in the physical, what we saw, John saw and described what he saw in the spiritual realm. Or maybe it was just the use of imagery. Okay, Revelation 10:1. Then I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven. He was robed in a cloud with a rainbow above his head. His face was like the sun, and his legs were like fiery pillars. Okay, now check out and see if you can kind of see where I'm going with this. Now check out the last key in Amos 3. When a trumpet sounds in the city, do not the people tremble? In the last part of that verse, when disaster comes to a city, has not the Lord caused it? Fiery pillars, disaster coming to a city, things that make you go, Okay, can't prove anything here beyond a shadow of a doubt, but I think that's where faith comes in. And here are some other verses that just to contemplate in light of what I just showed you. Amos 9:11, as we mentioned before, or 9:1, it says, I saw the Lord standing by the altar, and He said, strike the tops of the pillars so that the threshold shake. Bring them down on the heads of all the people. Those who are left I will kill with the sword. Okay? And I always like to point out, in that word itself is word, the S word, the sword, because the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Not one will get away, none will escape. Isaiah 30, verse 25. In the day of great slaughter. And it wasn't the slaughter where the people that died in the towers falling. It was the people being slain with the truth. They were decloaked. They were slain in their spirit because they're God is going to get the truth out to everybody. Okay? And those that respond and repent will be saved. Everybody else will be slain with the sword of judgment, which is the truth. In the day of the great slaughter, when the towers fall, streams of water will flow on every high mountain and every lofty hill, and we know that the water is likened to the gospel. Jeremiah 50, verse 15. Jeremiah 50, verse 15. It says, "Shout against her on every side. She surrenders. Her towers fall. Her walls are torn down." What are the walls? We talked about that the other day. "The wealth of the wicked is their fortified city. They imagine it to be an unscalable wall." Okay? So we're looking at this and we're thinking, you know, Josh fought the Battle of Jericho. No, I'm not going to go into singing it again. but the walls are likened to financial strength. Okay? That's why it's called a hedge fund. You know, thing they call protective financial strategies like a hedge fund. It's a wall. Okay, a wall of protection, a fortified city. They trust in the wall of their finances. They imagine it to be an unscalable wall. Since, let me read this again. "Shout against her on every side. She surrenders. Her towers fall. Her walls are torn down, since this is the vengeance of the Lord. Take vengeance on her. Do to her as she has done to others." Now, for those who are diligent and follow the path, if this is talking about 9/11, and obviously I personally believe it very well could be, and Revelation talks about the trumpet being the seventh angel's trumpet, and that trumpet is more than likely 1 Corinthians 15:51, which says, "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound. The dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed." Okay? Now, this is awesome. Just get this, because this is really cool. When you learn how to study the Bible and you learn how to connect the words are kind of like the dots. 1 Corinthians says, "Listen, I tell you a mystery. A mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised." Mystery. Now, this is cool. Revelation 10:7, "But in the days when the seventh angel is about to sound his trumpet, the mystery of God will be accomplished." Because what is that mystery? It's that, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's the whole transformation process, you know? Being the resurrection. You know, what God's plan all came to fruition. You know, the sons of God being manifested. You know, as it says in the Bible, that the whole creation groans and travails and waits for the manifestation of the sons of God, or the sons of God to be revealed. It's this whole mystery, the whole culmination of what God's been doing on the earth. It'll be accomplished. "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we will all be changed. But in the days when the seventh angel is about to sound his trumpet, the mystery of God will be accomplished, just as he announced to his servants the prophets." Do the math, brothers and sisters. Do the math. Okay? If I'm right about this, and it doesn't matter if I'm right, because I really don't care, because I'll be the first one to tell you I never would have seen this if God hadn't revealed it to me. It's glory to the Lord. Because I'm a nobody, and that's not false humility. If you guys, on the day, you'll see that I actually know that I'm a nobody. I crashed my life, and I don't want to keep going into that, but I have to just defend myself sometimes. You know, I blew my life out, and when I did that, and the Lord, you know, shined a light on me and woke me up, I obviously realized, wow, you know, he's picking me up, and my life is his. But if this connection is right, and Revelation 10 is prophesying about 9/11, then we are in the days when the seventh angel is about to sound this trumpet. This means we're very, very, very close. Let those words go out with impact. Impact. We need to wake up. There are some weird things going on in this world. Are you ready? Are you ready? The Bible says to Israel, he says, prepare to meet your God. And to those out there whose lives, are not reflecting what pleases the Lord, because that's all we're really interested in is pleasing the Lord, you know. We can sit here all day long and go over rules and this and that, and you know, that's why it says the letter of the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. Because what is the letter of the law? What does that phrase really mean? It means the letter of the law is a picture of a hammer coming from the outside, beating its way in. You know, you need to listen. This is where you're wrong. Shut up. Break down your pride. You're wrong. You're guilty. And it's kind of like a force thing. That's why Paul said the law is for the lawbreakers. It's to break down their pride. It's to slay them with the sword. And what are they slaying? It's slaying their pride, because they have no justification. They didn't keep the law. They broke it. The law is shattered in their hands. And there's no glue to put it back together, because the law is all one piece. Okay? But the Spirit speaks of the Spirit that dwells within us. And that speaks of a new way of walking with the Lord. A new way out of desire, because once your pride's broken, and you know that the whole gospel is wrapped up in, you know, God opposes the proud. He makes war against, or shows his wrath on the whole crowd of those who are proud. But he gives grace to the humble. This is so awesome. If people could just get this, that when the Lord shows his wrath, and he's coming down on you, he's squeezing you, and he's trying to convict you of your sin, he's only trying to wake you up to the truth. We don't respond to anything else. He's doing all this out of love. We have a wonderful Savior. You know, that's why the Bible says, he that loves the world has not the love of the Father in him. Love is blind. When you love the world, you're blind to its faults. Just like if you're in love with a woman, and somebody comes up and says, yo, man, that girl's doing this and that, and you just be like, no, not my baby. She would never do that. I love her. You know? You're blind to it. If you love the world, you're going to be blind to the things that are really going on. And really what the Holy Spirit does is he's coming in there to break your love, break that sorcery, that being bewitched by the spell of the harlot. You know? She plays that tootie little song that she plays, you know, metaphorically. And, you know, like the Pied Piper, everybody gets mesmerized and just follows right along, because it's like a little dream. But it leads to nowhere. It's going to vanish away like smoke in the night. And that's a horrible feeling. That's what happened to me in 9/11 when God woke me up, is that I realized I lived my life and I was like, what was I doing when I came to my senses, like the prodigal son? When God woke me up and came to my senses, I looked around, shook my head, and I'm like, what's going on? What was I doing? You know? And that's why I'm really reaching out there to everybody within the sound of my voice, pleading with them. And I know what it's like to be caught up in a spell and you won't even admit it to yourself. You know? Just caught up in everything. But the love of the world has to be broken. Because you won't see the truth about the world, because love is blind. And that's why God is bringing these events, and he's breaking up that fallow or hardened ground, and things are changing. And this is a time when people are going to be waking up. Some are going to wake up to all this New Age bullcrap. Oh, I'm an ascended master. Ooh, my consciousness is being raised. Ooh. I'm ascending to Christ consciousness. I am one with the great one source. Bull crap. You're not God, because you can't even fit all the knowledge in the universe into your brain. You don't know everything. So how can you sit there and say you're God? Oh, but I'm one cell in the one consciousness. We're all God. Okay, whatever. You know, all I got to say to that is, you know, you can shine a bright light in a blind man's eyes and he won't see it because he's blind. If he's in love with that thought, he's going to believe that thought no matter what. Okay? But these are very deceptive days. People are going to be waking up. Some are going to be waking up to eternal life. Some are going to be waking up to the deception. And into eternal shame, because they chose to focus on themselves, that they were God, that they were ascending, that they were climbing that crooked staircase to illumination, okay? And that they were coming, ooh, I finally got into the upper room of my brain and I realized I'm God. There are so many ways to pervert the scripture, I don't even want to speak about it, because it just ends up confusing people. And that's what these conspiracies are doing. And that's why they left all this stuff in 9/11 out in plain view, and all these questions that we have about 9/11. They left it out there in plain view because there's occultists and Luciferians out there who are drawing people into the conspiracy, and it's like little Hansel and Gretel breadcrumb trails, you know? And you're like, that piece was good. I want some more. Oh, wow, look at this, man. I know all this cool stuff that nobody else knows, and ooh. You know, it's the same trick of the devil over and over again in the Garden of Eden. He's leading you in, and he's leading you into the rabbit hole. And the rabbit hole's slippery, and you're going to slide all the way down, and that's kind of like the bottomless pit. Bottomless. Because truth is the only thing that matters. It's the only thing you have to stand on, because truth is truth, and I know what is. Man, you get lost in deception, you get lost in fantasies, you can make up endless things. Endless. Fantasies are the bottomless pit. They're endless. You can make up any combination of infinity of lies. Truth is one thing, lies are everything else. Now, if you want to be like an astronaut who's lost his tether, his connection to the earth, and you want to float away in anti-gravity and just float off into the infiniteness of deceptional space, go ahead. But if you want to stay with the truth, and you want to keep your head on your shoulders, and you want to stay grounded in the middle of this whirlwind of events that's coming, because the Lord says, my judgment's like a whirlwind, and I will blow those away like chaff on the threshing floor. I will blow them away. The whirlwind. His way is in the whirlwind. Okay? We're all going through it. We're all going through this test. This test that's coming upon the whole world to judge those that come. But we are in, I believe, we are in those days when the seventh angel is about ready to sound his trumpet. If you have to, rewind this podcast and go back through, and I'm, you know, I know I'm hyper, and I, you know, I just got to trust that I did it right. I'm tempted to go back and try to do it again and calm down, but I got all the information out, and I just got to let it go. I'm somewhat of an obsessive compulsive perfectionist, okay? I want to go back, and I want to get everything perfect, and that's one of my faults, but God sometimes uses that for good also, because he's awesome like that. You know, God is just awesome. I can't tell you guys the love that is in my heart for the Lord. He saved my life. He's not just a savior, like it's been said so many times that it doesn't mean anymore. He is a rescuer. He rescued me from such a deadly peril. And the reason people aren't reaching out to him is because they don't understand what they need to be rescued from. They're in love with the world, so therefore Christ doesn't look like, you know, so necessary. Because like, what, man? I just get up in the morning, I got my coffee pre-made because a little timer on there. Oh, man, I got French vanilla creamer I could put in there. I'm going about my day, man, I like my car. I got cool things to listen to on the way to work. I go to work, my homies are there. My friends, and we just have a good old time. It's kind of like a reality show at work, you know? And then I come home, and some people are just like, what? You know, I'm just trying to raise my family. I got my kids. But nothing means nothing. See, we can do all these things. We can live in the world and do good, and we can redeem the time, and but it's keeping the Lord at the top of it. We do everything through the Lord. Before we have an action, it goes through the Lord. When we look at something, we look at something through the Lord. When we go out to do something, and let's say, you know, buddy needs help on his getting his car fixed, and you're going to go over and you're going to help him, you know, do a tune-up. Before you step out the door, you step through the door of the Lord. You use that understanding of what you know about the Lord. Instead of just going over to do it in darkness, go over there and think about the Lord. Think about this. Lord, I'm thankful that I have a friend. Lord, I'm thankful that I'm alive and that I'm breathing. And that I can do something good. I can be the host to do this good thing that you're doing through me. Because it's not us, it's God. I'm thankful for the trees, Lord. I'm thankful for the air. I'm thankful for the sunshine. See, there are still good things. But Satan has polluted it all. I'm just going on and on. This has turned into a ramble-thon. But I love the Lord. I really do. And I don't say that to say, you know, oh, look how much I love the Lord and you guys don't. It has nothing to do with that. I want it to be contagious. I want it to be infectious, you know? God is awesome. We're living in exciting days. It's an awesome thing to get into Scripture and have things revealed. Because you're looking out at the world and you know deep in your heart that they're pulling the wool over your eyes. They're keeping you in fear every time you turn the television on. You know, you're looking at the news. Why are you really looking at the news? Because you're in fear. Because you're like, what's going to happen today? What's going on? And then they're pumping those advertisements into you that you won't even admit to yourself that affects you, even though they spend millions of dollars to do it. So obviously they know it affects you, or they wouldn't spend millions of dollars. Be real with yourself. Be willing to look at yourself and admit the truth to yourself. Be willing to admit the things, open up, and stop having the pride. Pop those air bubbles of pride. You know? Just pop them. Come down and sit on the floor in the ashes with all the rest of us who have been saved. Just admit the flat reality about yourself. You have an individual fingerprint. It's awesome. God gave that to you. Our joy comes through the Lord. It doesn't come through ourselves. You know, it's like you got to be popped and deflated before you can fit through the door and start to feel good again. There's joy there. There is joy. There's awesome joy. But you've got to go through that mourning process first. God has got to do that work of sanctification, which is you know, this process that he takes you through to where you understand yourself the way he sees you. And the very reason that causes heartache is because of your pride. That's why it's so hard. You're like, oh, I don't want to see that about myself. You know, you go in the Bible's like a mirror, and it shows you all your faults. You know? Well, God's looking at you, you know, he's like, and while you were yet sinners, I died for you. You know, I see you the way you are. Why do you keep, you know, having that false perception cloak over you? You know, you stay in your dark little thing, your own little perception of what you are. I see who you are. Come to me. Yeah, it's like somebody that has leprosy and they're so disgusting looking, and they look at themselves and they just imagine that they don't have leprosy. And just like Moses went outside the camp to Miriam, and went to Miriam, that's how Christ does to us. Our leprosy, our spiritual leprosy, the things we've done and stained ourselves with our sins and our brokenness on our hearts, he's willing to come to us. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden. Come unto me, all you that are weary, and I'll give you rest. He laid his life on the line. He died. He went through that actual thing that you're afraid of. He did it. And all he had to do was open his mouth and say, you know, I renounce all that stuff, and he could live. But he went through it. He faced the rejection of God, the blackness and desolateness of God turning his back on him. If you've ever been in a dark place, you know that that's what it was all about. When the light goes away, you don't enjoy the things you enjoyed anymore, because the enjoyment is not found in things. It's found in the light given to those things. And all joy comes from God. And that was a horrible, horrible place. Christ is on the cross. He's like, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? That black feeling, that black oozing tar of blackness in your chest, no hope. And he submitted himself to that on our behalf. I can't even imagine that. It's crazy. It's awesome. So, I won't keep going on and on and on, but I hope that was for somebody out there. But if you want to, go back through this podcast, because I was a little hyper and I went a little fast and I was even having a hard time breathing at points. But go back through it and let it sink in. Go back through and listen to it again and go point by point and try to follow the mental path of the connections that I was trying to make from word to word and how they all bounce back to one another. And they all must be talking about the same thing. Because I do believe that if Amos chapter 3 and Revelation 10 are the keys to 9/11, and that was 9/11, then we can safely say, because it was speaking of 9/11, that during Revelation 10, that was the time where the seventh angel is getting ready to blow his trumpet, and we know the seventh trump is the end. We're in that time. Is there some other words I can say where that would sink in? Now. It's close. Look up, for your redemption draws nigh. I believe we're in that time where Satan has come out of the abyss. And I'm going to do another podcast in the future on that, on why I think they're like, no, Satan's got to be locked up in the abyss, and then there's 1,000-year reign of Christ, and then even after Christ took everything over, Satan comes out of the abyss, and he takes over all the armies, and there's all this war, and God allows everything to be destroyed again, and then we do it again. No, I don't think it goes that way. I use the word think, because I'm not the Lord. I could be wrong, but I live here, and I gotta make a stand on what I see in Scripture, and stand there, and do the best I can. But I'm gonna do a special podcast in the future that goes through the two witnesses, tying it in with the parable of the strong man and the robber, and then I'm gonna do another one on the 1,000 years unsealed, and we'll see where it goes. And I welcome you guys' comments. I mean, I'm putting this out here. I'm just starting this podcast up. I don't have, a huge amount of subscribers. I'm just putting it out there, letting the Lord do whatever. It's an offering to Him and to all my brothers and sisters out there. But I welcome your comments. I haven't received any emails back. I don't know, if people have questions. I can answer some of the questions on the podcast. It's not a problem. I won't mention any names or anything. I might just use, first name or something. I won't mention where you're at. But, if I can answer the question, I'll try to answer it. But I do welcome your feedback. The Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And if I've got something wrong here, something that I've missed, because I got feet of clay, I'm a normal person, email me. Email me your comments. Email me encouragement, rebuke, exhortation, whatever you want. I welcome it. My email is epiphos@hotmail.com, epiphos@hotmail.com. And you can also go to my blog, which is Truth Stream Oasis, TRUTHSTREAMOASIS.blogspot.com. TruthStreamOasis.blogspot.com. You can also visit my Podomatic site. It's truthstream.podomatic.com. I actually like that site. That one's actually pretty cool. It's got some cool features to it. You guys can go on there and actually give me like an audio comment. If you just have a PC mic, it allows you to record it right into the comment there. Just go check it out. It's pretty cool. It's got some neat functions. You can leave comments on the different podcasts and everything. So do me a favor and go check that one out. It's truestream.podomatic.com. And like I said, email me. Let me know you're listening. That would be a great encouragement to me. It really would. And as I've said before, I will pray for all of you. I have been every day, even the ones that are, the small number that we got right now. I'm praying for you. I tell the Lord, I'm like, I don't know who's listening. But I pray that you would protect them. put a wall of fire around them, protect them, and open the eyes of their understanding and seal them with your truth for this time. And I would ask that you would pray for me, because I do. I mean, until I get warmed up on here, I get nervous. I get a little nervous doing it. I know I shouldn't. It's probably tied into, you know, some stupid thing in my personality, but, you know, hopefully one of these days I'll get to the point where I can relax on here. But I hope all you guys out there are doing all right, and wherever you may be, I pray that the Lord will bless you with wisdom and strengthen you where you need strength and draw you to Him and just create a love in your heart for Him to be obedient. You know, not to justify yourself and make yourself look so awesome, but just to obey Him because you love Him. And I pray that God will protect all of you. The Lord says He camps His angels around those who fear Him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you fear Him, it will protect you, because if you fear Him, you'll have a temptation come along, and that fear of Him will be greater desire than the desire to give into that temptation. So fear the Lord and shun evil and hold on tight, because I think, you know, this the revolutions are going to be cranked up here. You know, we're going to be spinning a lot harder in this whirlwind as time goes on. It's kind of like an avalanche, you know. I mean, for the last 5 or 6 years, I've been going around, oh, an avalanche is coming, and people have gotten to the point like where some of the people, even at my work, aren't really listening to me anymore. But, you know, it's like I don't know which vibration is going to cause the avalanche to fall. So, but it's coming. Okay, check out my site at truestream.podomatic.com. Email me at epiphos@hotmail.com, and I'm sorry this one's so long, but I really did not want to break this one up into two sections, so listen to it at your leisure. That's the wonderful gift that God's given us in this day, is this technology. It's being used for evil, but it can also be used for good. Isn't that the way everything is? God bless you guys, and surround you with His protection, and I will look forward to speaking to you guys next time. Peace out.